just to get down. Devin now. I wake up just to get down. Devin now. Hey, I wake up just to get down.
I don't know if they're
develop these bars for the developing stars, whoa. Ranked by their stars though, but they know just who they are. The knowledge is deep, man, cause college is bleak, man. The knees of the bees, man, people's champ, man, true now. I trust them with everything, every conference giving me confidence. Hipping is hopping and really no stopping them. Make you a champion, y'all put a sock in it, woo! But this is life, bro, they're at it all night though. So you can just drive slow and get down with the Devi crew.
I wake up just to get down. Devi now. I wake up just to get down. Devi now. Hey, I wake up just to get down.
I don't know if they're
All right, everybody, welcome back. This is Devi Happy Hour. This is episode 13. I almost skipped over 13, went to 14 just for superstition, but I thought that might be kind of crazy. Real quick, you can find us, you can find the podcast on Twitter at Devi Happy Hour, and our email is also devihappyhour@gmail.com. If you'd like to email us your questions, gripes, anything you think we can improve on, whatever, let us know. Send us an email. Real quick, before we get diving into this week's episode, I want to introduce my co-host. This is Andrew. Andrew, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Since last time we talked, we've got Game of Thrones ended and college football. I kind of think's getting a little bit more back in the news from the rundown when I was gathering stuff up for the show today. I realized, hey, we had actually kind of a busy 2 weeks since we didn't have a show last week. But no, there's a lot to get to. I'm pretty excited about it.
Right, yeah, and I'm starting to, you know, we're really starting to really looking forward to the next class and push this year's class under the rug. Are you in any Devi drafts right now, Andrew? Or?
No, we're thinking about doing something, for a listener league. But as far as anything I'm actively in right now, now I'm just in Dynasty Degenerates with you right now, where right. I made a trade last night that I don't even remember. So I apologize for that. But anyway,
I was like, oh, okay, whatever.
And then I looked and I was like, oh man, we don't even pick for two rounds. So I'm like, well, at least we got an extra 2020 pick.
For that draft, as many podcasters and people as we have, I thought it'd be quicker, but it's one of the slowest damn drafts, man. Like it's driving me nuts. I don't know. I mean, it's the time of the year where I think even my other leagues that are more active seem to be kind of slow right now. Everybody knows kids winding down in school and all that crap. So
right.
I do have one league, a Marvel Dynasty. I'm in with Tyler Gunther and a couple other people, Justin McCaslin, stuff like that. They added Devi, and we ended up – they weren't sure there was going to be a whole lot of Devi players taken, and we ended up taking like 170. So, like, it was kind of crazy. It's only 25-man rosters. But
how many leagues are you in now?
About 25, actually.
Okay.
I don't count the sleeper ones. So, anyway, like, so there's guys that have 25 people rosters, and then the taxi squads end up with like 17 or 18 college players. So, yeah, next year's draft's going to be absolute crap in that league, but it was kind of fun, you know. I'm a sucker for any league that has like the Marvel and the superheroes.
Yeah, stuff like that's fun. Like I'm in Cartoon Do-Gooders with Dynasty Outhouse, and I picked Johnny Quest just because he asked me a good person from a cartoon or whatever, and for whatever reason he popped in my head first, and. Yeah, it's like, oh, well, and then the graphics you see, and you're like, oh, sweet, blah, 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 and it's stuff like that's fun with MLF. The site can be confusing as hell, as Thor tweeted today, but then when it does stuff like that with the customization, it's kind of cool.
Yeah, setting up a league in that is an exercise in futility, man. It's but once you get it tweaked, it'll run itself. So,
and this is
you're in that league. That's kind of fun. I don't know if it's the same one, but I was in one last year.
Yeah, like, it's the second year of it. And
yeah,
he just kind of did a whole new one.
Okay, yeah, I did one last year, but it's one on my end up dropping. I trimmed way back, and Yeah, then I'm heading back toward the other direction again. So
I know we'll have to have Connor Rogers back on to, that could be one of the questions. Be like, okay, now guess how many leagues Dwight's in again.
No, leave me alone. I have a problem. There's no fantasy football anonymous, damn it. There needs to be. Pretty soon there will be, I think.
I think the problem is you fall in love with so many players and you'll do a league and you're like, man, I wish I had so-and-so. So then you get into another league trying to get that person. And then you're like, oh, well, I missed out on these people, so I got to get in another league to try to get them. And
right. It gets to be too much. I love startups too much, man. They're so much fun. Yeah. But then I also have a couple orphans, and the one orphans that I did get were ones that centered around, you know, college players, and then also like a campus to Canton type of, that's one of them, and Heisman to
Hallis.
Hallis is another one.
Tyler talks about that all the time.
Yep, I'm in that one, probably with him actually. So, or then someone will come along and they'll ask, and it's somebody I really love and that I really want to be in a league with, like Elliot Christ. You know, he had one, and I'm like, oh, I want to be in a league with Elliot, you know, so yeah, it's tough, but yeah, there's no addiction class for that. No. So anyways, you didn't put us on the list, but one of the things I'm really excited about is the NFL draft, the locations they have coming up. Like,
oh yeah, I didn't even think about that.
I'm not going to make Vegas. I mean, my wife would never let me do that, but Cleveland and then Kansas City, hell yeah.
Did you listen to Stick to Football? They already said they were looking at hotels for Vegas, and they're already at like $1,000 a night.
Yeah that's ridiculous.
I'm like, no.
Yeah, our weekly, I'm serious, guys. I meant to tweet this the other day. If you are not listening to Stick to Football, you're doing yourself a disservice. But Andrew got me hooked, and now like I look forward to Monday, Wednesdays, and Friday mornings. Like my drive to work, I always listen to it.
So. Well, Monday they've got the tailgate tour dropping too, which will be fun.
Right. Unfortunately, I probably won't be able to make one because they said they have some NFL ones, so I might be able to make this.
Yeah. And I, it took everything in me not to text Matt and Connor and be like, can you just give me a hint to what you're doing?
Yeah. And I'm going to try to make Mobile next year for sure too.
That's one thing I cannot recommend enough to people. And I swear to God, my wife's driven up a wall and a half of me just going goo goo over it. But it is so much fun. Like, I probably am not even going to worry about getting credentialed next year because you can do everything without being credentialed. Like, media day is probably, like, I really want to do media day just because Herbert, I know, will be there unless he sees where he doesn't have to improve his draft stock. And a bunch of other, the senior class this year is insane. Shaquille Quarterman from Miami, linebacker. Derek Brown, defensive lineman out of Auburn. I mean, just to name a couple off the top of my head real quick, but just the whole town, it's one of those big cities, but it's really small at the same time. I tell everyone they have open carry, but not with guns, with alcohol on Dauphin Street. Because every bar has clear cups, so when you walk out, you can just dump your drink in there and go out and do whatever. It's so much fun. And I told my wife that the first day I was down there, I said, everyone's just so damn nice. It was yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. And that's just that Southern hospitality part, so. No, I love Mobile. Me and Mello talk, I'd probably say a decent amount, and we'll always joke whenever one of us owes the other for helping somebody out with something. We always trade draft picks, bar pizza back and forth. So I think I owe him two to this point. So, but it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to. The biggest issue I have is I want to go in the middle of the week, and it's hard to justify taking time off. Yeah. My wife's like, you're doing what?
Well, yeah, and that's
I'll just find a way.
Yeah. I just got my PTO in because I hit my fourth year at my job. I got my PTO on the 15th, and I'm already all gone of 10 of my days because my wife's going to Hawaii from June 19th to the 27th, and then I already put in for the Senior Bowl week. I'm going to be going. Nice. I'm going to try to go this coming year. I'm going to go from Sunday to Thursday, just because I think Monday is check-in day and everything, and I got down on a Monday and I was exhausted, so I want to try to get down a year before. And then also, too, for anybody, I know it's going to be June when this comes out probably, but for anybody else looking ahead, it's 6 months from now, obviously. I'm going to just fly. I found out flying into New Orleans, which is a two-hour drive, with a rental is the same price as just flying straight into Mobile.
Wow.
So I was like, oh, I'll definitely do that and save on Ubers.
Yeah, I was thinking about trying to fly down like Monday night and then stay till Thursday night or something. Just be down like a couple days in the middle of the week.
Yeah, the middle of the week. Tuesday is when practices start. So,
hopefully meet some players and people, and yeah, sounds like fun, man. But I can't wait for the draft in Cleveland and Kansas City. I mean, those are both easily doable, especially Cleveland. I mean,
Cleveland I'm pumped about.
Yeah, we'll have a Debbie happy hour, Debbie owners manual meet up there. Screw it, that'll be fun. That'll be a blast. So, yeah, I mean Vegas, but yeah, I can't afford Vegas, especially just you know.
That's you can't crazy. Afford Vegas when it's not the draft.
But I still think the route to go is you know watch your Airbnbs and stuff for
That's
Cleveland and Kansas City and all that. Yeah,
that's what a lot of us are talking about doing for Mobile too.
So, all right, we're going to get enough of us just sitting around BS. I know well, that is kind of fun. I feel like I haven't talked to you in a while, Andrew.
Yeah, we haven't even texted that much.
Right. It has. Just been busy with work, busy with everything, you know, trying to get the kids wrapped up, school and camping and just kind of, you know.
Graduations.
Yeah. We'll go through the news and notes here. There's actually quite a bit to cover this week. First up, the NFLPA sent out a memo to players stating they should prepare financially for a work stoppage, which – to me scares the shit out of me, man. That wow. I mean, but at the same time, I mean, I can see it happening. It feels like it's been coming to a head. So what do you think that'll have like impact on strategy, college players, all that? Like, what is your impression of that?
Just to address as far as whether or not like with the whole lockout and everything for a year, we did have that mini one several years ago, but I do think this one's going to be a lot longer, a lot more impactful for the season just because the concussion stuff's at the forefront of all these players' attentions. I mean, a couple months ago, HBO Real Sports did a segment talking about how players are compensated now. And I can't remember who it was. Somebody, like, the money he got, what is wrong with him with his dementia and everything else, isn't a qualifying symptom from the CTE. So he doesn't get any of his money until he shows one of those symptoms that they have listed. Like, it's insane. So that's I'm sure good. That's going to be a big talking point, and it's going to – unfortunately, a lot of the owners, I'm sure, aren't going to agree on it. But as far as strategy goes for fantasy, we kind of talked about it a little bit in the Dynasty Happy Hour draft. I think if you find someone who's kind of scared and doesn't want to – and they don't value their 2021 picks, lock them up. I mean, you've got players like Trevor Lawrence, Justin Ross. You've got a lot of the Clemson guys. You got Alabama Rondale guys coming Moore. In. Yeah. Rondale Moore will be 2021. So – just to name a couple names that you can target if you can get some of those extra 2021 picks. But on the flip side of that, I think if you're Trevor Lawrence or Rondale Moore, do you sit out a whole year not being with your team and just kind of working out on your own, or do you play another year of college? I could see Lawrence's character shining through and him pulling kind of like a Tebow thing and coming back for his senior year to try to win a title. But then at that point, too, the DJU who just committed to Clemson – he'd be coming into a junior year where he'd be waiting on being the starter. And just kind of like Justin Fields with Jake Fromm situation, you could see him maybe even transferring. And there's a lot of dominoes with how these players can be affected.
As far as the fantasy, I'm not worried. I'm not even thinking about it. As far as a fantasy landscape, I mean, I'm honestly not. I mean, I'm hopeful that something's done, but at the same time, I can see issues coming to a head and there being something. But ultimately, money talks, and, you know, owners can definitely part with some money and stuff like that. So Lee can definitely get rid of part with some money. So I'm hoping that it comes to a head and it's not a big issue. But, yeah, right now I'm not thinking about it. But I guess as the season goes on, next offseason will probably be one that will be a little more telling, and I might start actually planning for a possible lockout. But right now I'm not even thinking about it, honestly. But
thank God for college football.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's – man, I tell you what, the more I've gotten into Devy and the more we talk about it, I'm starting to love college football so much more.
I've like, always liked it more. I don't know what it is. I think it's just the passion and the fan bases and the traditions and the rivalry games.
And I can identify with these guys, and I can identify with, you know, college guys that are fighting for, you know, the millions of dollars in the NFL. And it just – it feels more pure to me. I know it's probably not, but you know, whatever. So I don't know. I just love college football, and I love the David versus Goliath. You know, there's always, you know, that one team that can take down that huge team.
A couple of years ago, you had a winless Kansas team. Sorry for any Texas fans listening. You had that winless Kansas team beat Texas, and like nobody would have thought that. And then you go all the way back to 2007, you had number two Michigan, I think, at that time, with Chad Henne, what's his name, Hart, the running back.
Appalachian State, or?
Well, I'm trying to think of who the wide receiver was at Michigan. But anyway, you had Chad Henne and Hart leading Michigan in their high-powered offense. And Appalachian State pulls still, I think, one of the best upsets probably ever in football.
I don't know, and I love when they storm the field. I know it's dangerous for the athletes and things like that, but it's just the passion. It's just so much fun to watch, man. And if you've ever been to a college game, even like a not super important, the energy is so much more than an NFL game. I mean, it's ridiculous. Like it's just fun. I don't know, and tailgating's more fun. I don't know, it's just my personal opinion, but. Yeah, let's go on to the next one. This one kind of surprises me, but I thought it was coming at some point. The combine drills have been moved to prime time instead of the day due to viewerships being down. Your thoughts initially on this, Andrew?
I know it'll affect, obviously, media and players' routines. Just a couple people that collected their thoughts. I didn't ask if I could use his name, so I won't. But I reached out to a couple different media people, and one person thought, He absolutely loved it because now he doesn't have to pick and choose what he does during the day. And then another person said it was like absolute bullshit for the players because now you're going to see these players that are going to go through everything all night, and then the next day they're going to go through all their medicals and everything. And then that night, after being drugged through everything all in the same day now instead of being stretched over 2 days for them, you might see worse results, anything like that. And you can say, hey, this is their job. They're trained for so on and so forth. You still want good results because look at what a bad combine can do to a player and look what a good combine can do to a player. I mean, DK Metcalf, everyone thought was going to be a top 10 pick because of that 40 time he ran. If DK Metcalf ran like a 4.6 or a 4.7, my God, he probably wouldn't have even been drafted. So stuff like that always affects everything. A positive impact you can see too with the combine, somebody like Devin Bush jumping up to be a top 10 pick after – people are talking about Green Bay getting them with their 27th pick. So I think if you're a media person, it's fun. If you're a fan, it's going to be fun. If you're the players, it absolutely sucks.
I don't know. Like I heard, I'm pretty sure it was Stick to Football, where they talked about that maybe it would be better for the players because if we watch the combine, you know, they jump, they run, they do this, and then they go right into the drills. You know, what about give them, you know, a couple hours to kind of regroup, you know, get energy, you know, get their head right. You know, if they ran a bad 40, you know, they leave it on the field, you know, come back out a couple hours later and do your drills. I just think it'd be better for the players, honestly, but I don't know. I mean, I've not been in a situation like that. Maybe they would rather just keep it all going and get it all over with, but
yeah,
I thought it wouldn't be too bad. You can make
arguments for both cases. I mean, right. I've heard everyone say that, so. No, I see where you're coming from, though.
Yeah. All right. Sticking to football. And according to Matt Miller, Bleacher Report, there's an article coming out that said that some people are labeling Justin Herbert as soft. Some teams are already kind of getting that impression. And I'm not entirely surprised, but curious what your thought is.
I tweeted about this. I said, I remembered hearing a story that Justin Herbert had an emotional breakdown essentially at a practice early on in his college career. And he's from Eugene. His family had season tickets to Oregon. I'm sure he's dealing with a tremendous amount of pressure that I can't even begin to think about or even comprehend or handle because I just get all sorts of worked up when I'm nervous and my body just completely shuts down. That being said, as I was explaining to my wife about this, when you're going to get paid and a whole franchise is going to be handed to you, stuff like crying in practice, like I heard from some people, when I finally found the story after I reached out to a couple different people, and it was his freshman year, he was having a bad practice, interceptions, just missing receivers, and he would just walk off the field bawling. Out of the huddle, he'd be bawling and everything else, and it took the coaches just kind of yelling at him, being like, come on, get back in there and get your head in the game. And like I said to her, she's like, well, people are allowed to cry, so on and so forth. I said, you don't get it. When you're getting paid $30 million a year and you have 10 other men that you're responsible for that you're leading into battle, air quotes, you've got to have that mentality where nothing's going to shake me. The last play's over with. I'm going to move on. If you've ever played Madden, if you've ever listened to a football game, they always talk about that. quarterbacks with the shortest memory do the best. So I think Herbert's outgrown that, though. I think holding that against him from when he was an 18, 19-year-old isn't fair to him, especially as a 21, 22-year-old. So, I mean, God, all of us, could you imagine holding that stuff right against us and then 4 years later? I think it's something to think about. I don't think it won't affect his grade for me, whether it comes out later that he just absolutely had a panic attack or what. But, which, yeah, I'm not saying he did. I'm just giving that as an example. I think it's something to think about, but I wouldn't hold it against him. But I can see where teams could be concerned, especially if you're in a situation where you're on the back, like Pat Shurmur, say Daniel Jones doesn't work out and Eli Manning doesn't work out and you're New York Giants. You've got to hit on something in like 1 year or else, you know, Gettleman's going to be gone and Shurmur's going to be gone. Coaches like that, I could see being a little bit more weary of it just because they know they've got to hit. So,
right. Yeah. I think as long as it's isolated, it's not a big deal. Cause I mean, I've seen, you know, Peyton Manning in almost in tears, you know, AFC championship game on the side of the, you know, after throwing a big interception. It's, you know, there's situations where it's acceptable. I think in practice, it seems a little ridiculous.
Yeah, that's my thing is practice.
And, you know, it's these guys have cameras on them 24/7. So if somebody's really that worried about it, they could watch his body language. You know, you read a lot about quarterbacks by watching their body language, how they react to things like that. So if it's a legitimate problem, they'll find it, you know. So if I'm not, you know, but I also think it's also workable to get through as well. I mean, you know, he's still a human, and I mean, he's still got a lot of the traits you want in a quarterback. So, I mean, as long as I think if he cries occasionally, it's not a huge deal, but you don't want him, you know, like falling at the drop of a hat either. That might lead to some other issues, especially with the pressure in the NFL. So,
right.
Yeah. Next one, Brew McCoy. Oh, geez. Now he's thinking about leaving Texas and going back to USC. I saw he was visiting you at, he went out to California and
Tom Herman and Tom Sam Ellinger.
Yep. Tom Herman went out to California to talk to him and stuff. So yeah, this is just a weird side. This is a huge, to me, it's a big red flag. Like, commit to a school, you know, like, come on. Should he be, you had wrote in the show notes, should he be allowed to flip flop like this? I mean, I guess he can, but what is it showing?
Yeah. And that's, I saw somebody on comment on
one setting tweet. A dangerous precedent. So what do you think, Andrew?
Oh, sorry. I didn't realize you were still talking. It froze. And I saw somebody comment how if he transfers again, he should lose his second year of eligibility, which I mean, or sit out a second year. I shouldn't say lose a year. No, it's one of those things, like, you got to commit. I mean, you've had this whole time, I understand it's your future you're thinking about. USC is a good school. Texas is a good school. I think you'll be fine either way. I will say if you're looking to be a receiver, I'd probably say lately Texas has probably produced the better pro talent. So I would, if you're thinking about going ahead and all these kids want to play in the NFL, I'd probably stick with Tom Herman in Texas at this point, just because Clay Helton and JT Daniels at USC, I'm not that impressed with JT Daniels, but regardless, no, you got to make a decision at this point. You can't keep flip-flopping. I know Matt Miller earlier, I tweeted something that said he was switching back, and Matt said it was fake news, but it's looking that way. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. But yeah, I'm at this point, it's more of just watching a tennis match.
Yeah, it's kind of, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's his prerogative. He can do it. You know, whatever. But right. Yeah, I like what you said. I think his pro prospects, USC hasn't really turned them out like they used to. They're not quite that. They get the talented players too, which kind of worries me a little bit because they get a lot of 4- and 5-star recruits.
They're still, you know, recruiting off of those Pete Carroll teams.
But they're not churning out the NFL stars, which scares me. You know, like what's going on there? What's happening to
them? And if you even think about it, like those Pete Carroll teams, like Lendell White, and I'm probably going to get persecuted for this, was more effective in a shorter amount of time than Reggie Bush was. Reggie Bush took a couple years to kind of get things figured out. Lendale White stepped right in there and was a perfect complement to Chris Johnson. He got in the same role he was in college and thrived in it. Matt Leinart, he didn't pan out. Dwayne Jarrett didn't pan out. Ray Malaga had a decent career with Cincinnati. Clay Matthews had a really good year. Career still playing. Brian Cushing's had a decent career. Taylor Mays didn't pan out. So you've got a lot of those big players where, because they went on that like 2-year win streak and were just clobbering people, averaging 50 points a game. A lot of people were high on them, but they really shouldn't have been. So it's just, like I said, I still think they're recruiting off of that. They can't say Reggie Bush's name, but they can say everybody else's name. So
next up, we have Herm Edwards. He's constructing a hell of a coaching staff at Arizona State. They had a pretty good recruiting class as well this year. So he's got all these guys with NFL ties. You want to go through them, Andrew? Or?
Doug Haller, I don't know how you say his name, I apologize, tweeted out the Arizona State staff now with major NFL ties. Obviously got Herm Edwards as the head coach. Marvin Lewis, they just hired as Dwight the Bengals fan approves. Marvin Lewis is an advisor, Pro Football Hall of Famer. Kevin Mawai is an analyst for the team. Antonio Pierce is their linebacker coach. I didn't even know that until I saw this. Former NFL assistant Sean Slocum is their special teams coach, and they have another analyst and former receiver Derek Hagan. So, I mean, if you're a recruit and you want to be around talent that knows what it takes to get to the NFL, I know we're a football podcast, but we're not sick to football, so we can get away with this. Look at what Penny Hardaway's doing at Memphis, where they know he's an NFL or NBA player, and he knows what it takes to get to the league. He has the top recruiting class this year out of Memphis, which hasn't even contended for a national championship in like 10 years. But because he has that NBA pedigree, recruits are going there. I can see the same thing happening with Arizona State. Arizona's not doing very well, and that's a state that produces a decent amount of football talent. You got Southern California right there too. Obviously, you still got to compete with UCLA and USC. But Las Vegas with Bishop Gorman puts out a lot of good high school talent. New Mexico puts out a decent amount. And you got West Texas you can still kind of pick out of with your Arizona State. So, I mean, if you've got the talent and you're producing the pro players, I think talent's going to come to them. So I really like what Herm Edwards is doing.
I totally agree. I was pretty shocked at that when he put that on there. That's other than the Marvin Lewis thing. Anyways, so that's pretty much the news and notes for the week. We're going to go ahead and start the conference preview kickoffs. We're going to start this week with one that's a little bit tougher. I struggled a little bit with this one. We're going to go through the non-Power 5 conference buys and sells. These are just Devy players, guys that we think you should buy and guys that we think you should probably sell if you do have them. Some guys that are standing out, you know, going into your Debbie drafts. A lot of these names are probably not on anybody's team.
No.
But
not at this point. But when we get into the Power 5, we'll probably be hitting people.
Yeah, jeez. Power 5 is going to be – yeah, we're going to have to do one conference at a time, and it's going to be a whole big episode. So, yeah, so first we're going to start off with the quarterbacks, how this is going to work. We're each going to have a buy and a sell. Andrew, is there a quarterback? I mean, this didn't surprise me one freaking bit. Andrew, who's your buy quarterback from a non-Power 5 conference school?
I mean, I think he's been my draft crush or a college crush because now he's a draft crush for a couple of years now. And he's someone I would love to see get the chance to go to the Senior Bowl. Mason Fine out of North Texas. Graham Harrell was there as the quarterback coach for a couple of years and really saw him thrive and take the next steps under him. 2 years ago, his numbers really popped, 31 touchdowns, 15 interceptions. And then last year you saw the touchdowns drop just a little bit at 27, but you saw those interceptions go from 15 to 5, which is what you really like. And he was having a great year. Got to watch his bowl game, and then he got hurt, unfortunately, towards the end of it. So the way he moves, and he's 5'11", 185, so he's going to add some weight, obviously. When I watch him, like his stance and his mechanics and everything else, I'm not saying he's Baker Mayfield, but he kind of looks like Texas Tech Baker Mayfield a little bit, to where he's running around slinging it, just mannerisms and everything else and stuff like that kind of reminds me of him. So I'm all in on Mason Fine. I mean, he's one, if you've got a Devy draft, you can really just take a flyer on, depending on if you're one of the crazy leagues like Dwight is.
Right, yeah, I like some of the things about him. You know, I watched quite a bit of his tape over the last week, actually. I was just kind of, he's one of them that were on the list that I knew you'd probably talk about. And the size obviously is an issue, but he's extremely, extremely accurate. I think I saw a stat that his adjusted completion rate was near 85%, which I think they get, you know, based on, I don't know, their weird little algorithms and things. But I mean, other than that too, like you said, he reduced his picks a lot. He's smart and he's elusive. He's extremely elusive. He doesn't run a whole lot, which actually I like. But right. He's elusive enough, you know, and he really spreads the ball around well. So he's a guy that obviously can take some some steps forward this year. I'd like to see him add a little weight, and obviously the level of competition is always going to be an issue with him. But
right,
as long as you have the tools, you know.
Yeah, I almost put Jordan Love as my buy, but I just, like I said, I wasn't that sold on him, to be honest with you.
Yeah, he's tricky. I don't know. My sell actually is a guy that's kind of falling into that area, you know, where he. So we'll get to that in a second here. I'll go through my love real quick. A guy that I've kind of had on my radar for a little bit. And I think he's going to make a better name for himself in the next couple of years. I don't even think he's owned in my huge Devy league, but Zach Wilson, he's a sophomore quarterback from BYU. Just watching more, like it's tricky because of that offense they run in BYU is just absolutely insane. They're finally, like, they had a couple years there where they were falling off the ledge and kind of getting their butts kicked and dragged through the mud. They didn't look like BYU quarterback, and now they're getting some pretty good recruiting classes.
Remember Max Hall?
Yeah, and they've got some really good recruiting classes and some good young guys coming through there. And I love a lot about this kid. He's athletic as hell, 6'3", 200 pounds. He's got a hell of a rocket arm. This year, he only threw for 1,600 yards, 12 touchdowns. He also rushed for almost 250 as well. He makes a lot of different throws, you know, so obviously he's got a lot of learning to do and a learning curve. But, I mean, there was a time there where BYU turned out quarterbacks like, you know, nothing superstars, but they turned out pretty decent NFL quarterbacks there for
Steve
a while.
Steve Young, Jim McMahon. Yeah.
Detmer.
Detmer.
Yeah. You know, but they were, yeah. Yeah, so – I like a lot of what BYU is doing, and they're going to start making some noise. I think they were ranked. They were ranked at one point last year. So, anyways, that's a guy I'm really looking forward to watching develop as well. He's a sophomore, so he's not going to come out till 2021. So, obviously, he's going to be in the Trevor Lawrence class. So, he'll probably be like the fifth quarterback down. But who knows? You know, I like a lot about him, and he's a guy that I'm looking to buy cheap in deeper leagues that I have. So, I don't know if you had anything on him yet.
No, not yet. I don't have him on my watch list, so I'll make him number 248.
All right, who do you got for your sell?
No, I kind of highlighted that earlier with Jordan Love. I wasn't too impressed with. I thought he really forced a lot of throws. The game I watched, I'll be fair, I only watched one game because that's all I'm watching of these guys just to get an idea of where rankings go. I'll watch more when the season goes, but he forces a lot of passes. He tries to make too many plays, I think, which I get you've got to do if you're the quarterback, but that comes at a price a lot of the time. So like, there was a couple of games, or the game I was watching, where there was a couple drives, I should say, where they were driving just fine. Dax Raymond, Darwin Thompson, and him are just dominating the game, and then he just starts running, throws across his body 30 yards downfield, and the safety just literally was like an outfielder catching a pop-up. There's nobody. So I think he got a lot of love on Twitter. I think if you've got him, sell him to somebody that likes him. So that's really it with Jordan Love. I'm interested more in your sell, because this guy, I think, is getting a lot more hype because of Kyler Murray. Whereas if Kyler Murray wouldn't have done what he did, I don't think anybody would be talking about this guy.
Exactly. That's what it scares me. He runs this crazy offense as well. De'Eric King, I think that's how you pronounce it. Whenever I see his name, I think about the sketch with a Key and Peele when they do the names, the A.A. Ron and, you know, stuff like that. It's like De'Eric. It's Derek, you know? I don't know. Maybe it is Derek. I'm not sure.
Tyrod.
So anyways, he's a redshirt senior playing for Houston. He's getting a ton of buzz. Like, there's guys that are putting him, like, in the top three and four quarterbacks coming out next year. But at the same time, I've also seen him down as low as 12 and 15. He's got those gaudy numbers. He had 50 touchdowns last year. He counted for 50 touchdowns. So, you know, 3,000 passing yards, 700 rushing. Not the greatest size. He's 5'11", 200, which is pretty close to what Kyler Murray is now, I guess. I thought he was took too many risks. You know, he didn't seem very accurate. He was bailed out a lot by, you know, receivers that made plays in this crazy offense playing these just atrocious defenses for the most part. So I don't see it. I mean, but everybody's going to always, like you said, he's getting that Kyler Murray buzz that he could be the next one. You know, he could be it. He could be, but he could not. He most likely is not going to be, in my opinion. He's got a pretty good arm, but I just don't think he's going to be prepared for the NFL and even as good as Kyler. I mean, I know Oklahoma runs kind of a, you know, more of a spread offense, but they also run, you know, a play a little bit better defenses and things. So it wasn't quite as big of an issue. But I just don't see it with King. So not yet. I'm going to delve a lot more into him. But I think you could sell him pretty good price right now. So I would sell him if I had him.
No, he's definitely, or if they've got a hype train and it's not warranted, that's always a sell. Just to jump into running backs then, as far as, yeah, just as another buy for me, somebody I think kind of got overshadowed just because of Mackenzie Milton leading the way down at UCF. Greg McCray, the running back, had over 1,000 yards, had 9 touchdowns on the year. Not a great receiving threat, but when he gets the ball in open space, I really like what he can do. I think he has the potential to be a top 10 back in this loaded class, just depending on what type of steps he takes. Because, I mean, freshman year he went from 148 yards to sophomore year he had over 1,000. So he's definitely got the potential. And if they, I'm assuming they don't have Mackenzie Milton back this year. Wimbush being their quarterback, I would hope to God they just run the ball as much as possible, because you don't want that man throwing the ball.
Oh, Lord, yes. He's got a couple things on here. When there's a hole, holy crap, does he get it quick.
Yeah, he's
explosive. But when there's not, he seems like a lost puppy. Like, he's very indecisive.
This is going to be such a graphic, like you were saying. If there's no holes, he kind of just runs in the line, kind of like a baby puppy trying to get in to get fed. But then all of his brothers and sisters pop him back out.
Yeah, you think he will get better at that, I think. But they help mask that by lining him up all over. I saw him at wide receiver on plays. I'd like to see him add a little bit more weight. He's a little bit thin. But I'm really eager to see what he does this year. He's just kind of like a Swiss Army type of back, you know.
And yeah.
So I really like that. A guy that I really love, I've gotten higher on, is Spencer Brown from UAB. So I've got 2 years starting under his belt. The focal point of a really bad offense for the most part. But I like a lot of what you see about him. He hasn't really received too many balls. I think he had like 7 catches in his first couple years. But he's got great size at 5'11", 225. He's got – you love his balance. He's not afraid to run inside, hit people. He seems patient. You know, things – obviously you want to see him play against bigger schools and things like that. But there's a ton to like about him. And he's a guy that I've tried to grab in a couple spots. And I mean, he should be out there. In most leagues he would be available. And I think he'll get some more love this year. And I'd like to see him come out next year. And he will probably go mid-round. But he's a guy that can really do some damage, I think. And your sell, man.
I know you liked this guy a couple months ago when we were talking about.
I still like this guy a lot. So.
And I do a little bit. I got to watch more of him, obviously. But Michael Warren out of Cincinnati, like kind of like, you know how you have somebody like Dwight here that still believes in him. He's someone where I think he's worth keeping depending on your situation. But if your situation allows it, I totally think you should sell him to where you get really whatever you can for him. I mean, it's hard to gauge the market on Devy players to know exactly what you should be asking for, because that NFL talent is in the beauty's in the eye of the beholder. But when it comes to Devy talent and college talent, it's a completely different ball game. So I'd love to see somebody try to make a trade calculator on that. But regardless, no, Michael Warren, like I said, I still think I could come around on him. But for right now, he's a sell for me just on the fact that I don't really know what to think of him, so it's more of just a hesitation part thing on my end.
I really don't know if you'll get a lot for him. That's kind of where I'm at, though. Like, I think he's quite a ways down the list. Things I did like is he's got great size, tough runner. He cuts really, really well, and he's tough to tackle. And I see him break a lot of long outside home run type runs, but he's averaging 4.8 yards a carry.
Right.
You know, like in college, that's not great, especially on an offense like as high powered as Cincinnati. You'd expect him to be that guy like Darrell Henderson was, where he, you know, gouging defenses like that.
And you don't have to average 8 yards to carry like Henderson did, but
still. Right, but you want to see at least something, you know, and I'd like to see him be a little more patient and let plays develop inside. You know, he doesn't really let that happen. And he's got pretty decent hands out of the backfield. I like a lot about him, but I understand what you mean. I just don't know if you'd be able to truly sell him. I don't have a sell because I looked through the list and I couldn't find anybody that had – that I think has value in the power, non-power five to sell, honestly. Like, there's a lot of, you know, pretty, like, even the guys that we love and that we buy, that are buys for us are pretty low on the list. They could be higher, but, yeah, you know. So I had trouble finding I got nothing on the sells on that one. Sorry, Andrew.
Oh, you're good. just talk about receiver buys now. This is another guy.
Rico!
He's already... he's already a Blitnikoff watch.
I saw that.
In the preseason, which is fantastic that a receiver from North Texas is getting that sort of love. But, I mean, after you have 68 catches, 1,000 yards, and 12 touchdowns, that might warrant it. Rico Busey?
Busey. Gary Busey's
long lost. Gary Busey. We'll just call him the North Texas Gary Busey. He
stick.
Yeah. He kind of has a body type similar to Antoine Wesley like last year in the draft where he's 6'2", but he's a really slim 190. Great jump ball skills. Really knows how to use his body. I think with some extra weight, that'll come even better. So just to kind of keep things simple at this point, I just really like his jump ball ability, his red zone ability. He kind of has like a J.J. Arcega-Whiteside type of talent in the red zone. If he can work on his route running and just tightening that stuff up a little bit, get faster, get a little bit of weight on, but not lose that speed if you get it, I think that'd be tremendous for him. Obviously, if you win the Blitnikoff Award, it's certainly going to help your draft stock regardless. So, yeah, I love the North Texas Gary Busey.
You see, now I thought he made Mason Fine look a lot better. I saw a lot of plays where Busey is probably Bussy. I'm 99%
sure. I know, it probably is.
Where he would come back and he would, you know, he would work his way back to the ball. That's what I liked a lot about him. He uses his size really well to shield the ball and create separation. There was some plays where I saw Mason make like these just ridiculous throws. But then there was also times where it was thrown quite a bit short and off to the right and Bussy would just find a way to get the ball. And yeah, it never seemed like he got hit like at all, like hard on, like straight on. You know, he's kind of shifty and elusive. So he's definitely a guy that put him on the Blitnikoff list. He's a name we need to know and a guy that I think you need to buy absolutely for sure. My guy, Adrian Hardy, Louisiana Tech. He's a transfer from Oklahoma. Really, really good size guy, 6'2", 200 pounds. Last year as a redshirt sophomore, he had 1,145 yards, only 6 touchdowns. But in an offense, it doesn't throw a whole lot. He kind of helped. He's in the team. Skip Holtz is the coach there. I didn't even know that.
Nope.
But I like that I read a lot about him, and he's got a really high character. Like he didn't have a very good first year there in Louisiana Tech, and he worked his ass off. Like he got into the room, you know, he got into the practices. He pulled the cornerbacks out one on one, and you know other receivers, and he's. You know, he seems like he's a really good hard worker. You like to hear stuff like that, especially from a guy like, you know, that really needs to work his tail off to make his name known. What I saw from him on tape is he made tough catches look just like routine. His concentration, his hands are awesome. Just an athletic guy, just a guy that I really, really, really root for. I imagine he's going to get his name up there on lists too as well. So a guy that could come out next year, although, you know, it's going to be a rough class to come out for. But so a guy that I would like to get if I could in places.
You can do your sell because I think my sell is going to upset people.
Your sell was kind of curious. Like I had for a while there had been in the same boat, but I had trouble finding a sell for this as well. But Marquez Stevenson from Houston is going to get the – he's going to get the Derek King, you know, hype train, you know, because of all the times that Derek throws the ball. Marquez had a ton of production last year, 1,000 yards, 9 touchdowns. Honestly, it feels like he's just a burner, you know, an elite speed, elite guy, big playability. You know, his didn't seem like he has the greatest hands. He doesn't run a whole lot of routes, but, you know, he'll get that speedster that, you know, I mean, we got guys of that speed that can get deep and do that. Are, you know, pretty coveted, but from a standpoint of fantasy and stuff, I don't want a guy like that. And if somebody wants to buy that name, they can buy it. All right, Andrew, that leads to yours. This one far more controversial than Michael Warren, but
yeah. My sell's Jalen Reagor, I think, because he definitely is a guy that people know about, people love. I think he's going to be Josh Doxson 2.0. Doxson's been hampered by injuries, you can say. He's also been hampered by Alex Smith and Colt McCoy as his quarterback in the pros. But regardless, maybe he'll have a resurgence this year with Dwayne Haskins and Case Keenum. If you all could see the face I made when I said that out loud. I think he's definitely somebody where, like, I know me with the Coast to Coast scouting guys, I'm low on him and everyone else is pretty high on him. So that myself lets me know if you aren't completely sold on his skill set. I mean, and his body is just, he's in between to where, like, they list him at 5'11", 195. Like, decent weight for that size, but then that also could be a little too heavy, and then, like, the height's not as tall as you want to be with that weight. Like, he's kind of like the platypus of receivers to where he kind of just got thrown together and you don't really know what to think about him. But he's just one of those ones. He's already a big name. I think you could get a decent price for him. That's why he's my sell. I'm just not entirely sold on him. I know you're supposed to scout the player, not the helmet, which I'll get to on my tight end sells. But yeah, that's just for me. He's a little too much of a steep price, I think, at this point.
Yeah, I still think he may be behind, you know, that first tier or two. But what I see that I like is he has this elite first step, and he creates separation so quickly. He is so fast. He cuts without losing speed. Great route runner. Good hands, you know, so I see a lot of him.
He's a good player. I'm not saying he's bad.
An issue. The size and then running that offense in TCU is just kind of, you always kind of, you know.
Like, I think if he was in Oklahoma or USC or somewhere else to kind of, like, coach him up, like, TCU is not known for the receiver NFL talent.
Right.
Which, again, you scout the player, not the helmet. But correct. There's times where you're like, man, I wish he was at an LSU. He was at a USC. He was at an Oklahoma, something like that.
So, yeah, interesting. All right, tight ends. This one was incredibly difficult for me as well. Like, there's the college landscape for tight ends is not great overall, even when you add the Power Five in. So,
yeah, this year's tough.
This is a tricky one. So who do you got for your buy there, Andrew?
My buy is Mitchell Wilcox, a guy who I thought was going to declare last year for the draft.
I did too.
Jim Nagy already has him listed as a Senior Bowl potential player. Mitchell Wilcox, for me, though, I really like his hands. I like his speed. I like his size. I like a lot about his game just in general. At 6'5", 245, I think he's your prototypical NFL tight end. So being at USF, Blake Barnett's made him a pretty good target. I mean, 43 receptions, 500 yards, only two touchdowns, but Dawson Knox never saw the end zone in his career in college, and he's, I think, going to be an okay pro. So, no, Mitchell Wilcox, for me, I think should have gone last year even, but I think this year he has a chance to be top five tight end easy in this class.
Yeah, I've got – mine's kind of a crazy dart throw. Tyrone Wheatley Jr., was recruited at Michigan – was there for a couple of years, but it was just injured. He's got tremendous size, and obviously he's got the pedigree coming from, you know, Tyrone Wheatley's son. 6'6", I think he's 265, so he's a pretty big dude, but he's incredibly athletic. This is just kind of a dart throw. I mean, we've rarely seen him play. I think he only has, like, 7 catches. Like, he's got, like, nothing. But he's gonna
get any tape on him yet.
Right, he's going to have a chance to play in Stony Brook. So I just – yeah, Andrew will let us know how it is. That's right up the road from you. So, yeah, let me see. Andrew, tell me how
it is.
Isn't it? Isn't that the one where you're – oh, never mind. I'm thinking somewhere else. Where did Wes –
Slippery Rock.
Slippery Rock, damn it. Slippery Rock, Stony Brook, Gary Busey. We got it all here. Anyways, so, yeah, sorry, man. I was
you're thinking, good.
I got my rock schools mixed up.
I don't know where Stony Brook is.
I don't either. But
anyway.
They added Tyrone Wheatley on their – coaching staff, I believe, as well. So hopefully if he's a guy that stays healthy, he had a really great pedigree, was tremendous in high school. So he'll get a chance to play, and if he can stay healthy, who knows? I think he could emerge as a solid tight end prospect in the NFL.
On Long Island. Where do you think I live? I can't afford that real estate.
No, I said I got him mixed. All right, who's your sell, man?
My sell is Harrison Bryant. I love Lane Kiffin. I mean, humble brag, I had Lane Kiffin retweet my Freddie Kitchens quote, knocking the Alabama quarterbacks, and that was hilarious that he's still having issues with that school after everything. But again, it's kind of like I highlighted where you got to scout the player, not the helmet, but Lane Kiffin just has not produced NFL talent at FAU. He really thrives off of bringing in all these transfers. I'll give Harrison Bryant credit to where he's been there, so he's not one of those guys that kind of came in. It's just one of those things where I'll believe it when I see it with him. I think he's one of those players that will have to use the process to really excel and take advantage of this whole thing.
Right. I have some notes that I thought he needed some bulk, definitely. I think he's 235-ish, if I remember right. It seems like he's a good receiving tight end. He's got really good hands, but I don't think he's capable of being like blocking at the next level unless he adds some bulk and technique quickly. Like, I wasn't overly impressed with him as well. Yeah, at least my last one for us, I started with BYU and then with BYU. Nat Bushman has kind of gotten some hype as being like a dark horse type of tight end coming out. He's an older guy, he's a mature leader. He's already married. He's a good receiver in that offense, but
they held that against Derek Carr when he came out.
Right, and he's on the Mackey watch list this year. I just don't see NFL tight end when I watch him. He just feels very like wooden and mechanical, like in his movements and stuff. Didn't seem like a very fluid player what I saw of him. And he's in the like 5 to 8 range for tight ends. I think he's for next year, I think is what I've been seeing a lot of. And I just don't see it. I mean, he may be like a decent, you know, blocking tight end that can catch a pass here and there. But yeah, so I would sell him if you have him, although I don't estimate a whole lot of people. Honestly, this whole list of four, I doubt anybody has, honestly.
Yeah, I know. Buy or sell is kind of a tough game to play when nobody's buying them or selling them in most cases. But we'll end with this, too. You know why he's already married?
No.
Because he's at BYU and he can't have sex unless he's married, so. Oh. But anyway.
Hashtag controversy.
No, they had a basketball player get dismissed for that a couple years ago.
Yeah, we actually only had one silly, kind of a fun. Our listener questions all were answered by that right there. They were all, you know, Power 5 related guys, non-Power 5 related guys. And one guy asked if we needed any basketball players that would be good tight ends. I don't know.
I even reached out to some people I knew, and they're like, we won't know that till they decide to throw their name in because they're not going to make it in the NBA.
I love college basketball, but I could not tell you like a single person that plays. I guess maybe Nick Ward from Michigan State. He's a big dude.
And I'm a Florida fan.
Yeah.
I hate my coach. I don't know my coach's name. It's just not Billy Donovan, so I'm pissed.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a while. So, yeah. Anyways, that's all we got for this week. We will be back next week. Real quick, Andrew, tell him. Andrew's got some really, really good, exciting news. Everybody, as soon as you're done with this podcast, follow Andrew's new endeavor. Andrew, tell him what it is.
Yeah. No, me and a couple of the guys that I've gotten to know through Stick to Football all started our own scouting group, Coast to Coast Scouting. Jake Anderson made the graphic, and I absolutely love it. But yeah, the Twitter account CC Scouting. We announced yesterday we're closing in on 300 followers, really a little over 24 hours into this whole thing. So it's been a blast. We're all trying to kind of make this our own thing, and we want to do it full time. We want to get down to the Senior Bowl. We want to get to the scouting combines. We want to get out to all these places. And I don't want to say inject some youth into it, but it just kind of seems like there's so many people on Twitter doing this, and I won't call anybody out, but like, I just feel like a lot of them are treading water. You've got guys that I will give credit, like Carter Donick or Donick Carter. I can't remember his name right now. Slipping here. Does fantastic stuff. I mean, NFL people look at his stuff and respect it. So, and he's not even 18 yet, I don't believe. And he made it down to the Senior Bowl last year, which was insane to think about. But yeah, and you've got so many people, and I think if we're taking it serious enough with this to where we just want to make it a thing. And it's like, I've been in this less than a year, and I know what I want to do now. I was talking to Tom, Dynasty Infidel, and I said, I want to be all in on this. And I've talked to Connor Rogers about it, and we've had heart-to-hearts about it and everything else. And I've got the books now. Diving in, I'm getting as many scouting classes from as many scouts as I can. I'm trying to reach out and make as many contacts as I can. And I just want to be all in on this for you guys.
Right. I've met most of the guys that he's working with. They're all just great guys. And these guys are going to do a really great job. I'm really looking forward to that. You can find Andrew himself on Twitter at Andrew NFL Draft.
So, I never plug myself. I always forget.
Anyways, you can find me on Twitter, FF People's Champ. I work at DLF and then on these podcasts that I share with Andrew here, this one and the Dynasty Owner's Manual. And once again, next week, do you have an idea who you want to do next for the conferences? Just one of the big ones?
I need SEC, because then I could talk about SEC for the whole episode.
Yeah, let's do a different one. Let's do Big Ten or something, Pac-12.
Something big.
Yeah.
One last thing, too. Next week, we'll have the debut episodes for the Coast to Coast Scouting podcast. We'll have two episodes a week out of that. I'll be on the Thursday show talking about college football. I'll also be on Talking Football on Tuesday. So I'll be doing three podcasts next week, which I won't say too loud so my wife doesn't hear.
No, it's all right, man. We can. We're kind of every other week, so you're all right, man. You can get those two next week.
So it's just a lot of stuff going on. I did radio in Denver last week too.
Yes, boy, he's going big time. I remember when he was just a little old boy.
Oh, when Albright messaged me, I about shit my pants. So you should have seen it.
Yeah, it's awesome, man. So good stuff. Good stuff, man. All right, we'll get back with you guys with some more information. Find us again, once again, on Twitter at Debbie Happy Hour. Emails at DebbieHappyHour@gmail.com, and we will talk to you guys soon.